none of the disciples emerged from the events surrounding the crucifixion of Jesus Christ with deeper scars than Peter had. From the earliest days of the Lord's public ministry, Peter had been a very prominent member of Christ's disciples. Along with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who are also mentioned in this chapter, Peter had formed the inner circle of the disciples, as some have called it. That was a smaller group, a more select group, that was privileged to witness some of the most sublime events in Christ's public ministry. Peter was an impetuous man. He had the capacity for leadership. Frequently, he was the first to weigh in with his response to various situations. So when Christ asked the question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter declared, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When Christ came walking toward the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, stirred up by a storm, it was Peter who cried out from the boat, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." When on the occasion that we find described in our Bible reading today, the disciples realized who it was that was on the shore, Peter dove into the sea to reach the shore ahead of the others. Sometimes, of course, his rashness caused him problems. The Lord spoke of his own coming death at one point, and Peter objected vigorously and said, "This shall not be unto thee." And he was rebuked very severely for being the instrument of Satan. When the hour of Christ's death was imminent, Peter boasted, in spite of what Christ himself had said, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." And then, when Christ predicted that Peter would deny him three times, Peter said even more vehemently, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." And just to make that claim valid, Peter used his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane in an effort to prevent the arrest of his master. And then Peter followed to the place of the trial, and it was there that Peter fell to the depths as three times, as Jesus had predicted, the last time with an oath and with cursing, he denied any knowledge of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I don't think it's any surprise that Peter has always been a favorite target for preachers. Although most who have criticized Peter couldn't really carry his shoes. Christ took that man, that rugged impetuosity, and tempered it in the furnace of failure and affliction until it became a bright metal for use in the building of the church. And the crucible in which this work was going on occurred in these verses that we have read this morning. Christ took Peter as an individual, and in what was sometimes for Peter a painful procedure, Christ taught him the lessons of a subject that Peter had to learn if he was to lead the work of God in the early days of the Christian era. The Lord taught here by the use of question and answer. In this final message in this series that we have called Question and Answer, Jesus and His Disciples, we find the Lord directing Peter's attention, and ours as well, to love's privilege and price. This series of question and answer exchanges that we encounter here is the practical application by the Lord of the message of His cross. The lesson that Peter had to learn is a lesson that we have to learn if we're going to be useful servants of Christ. There's a lot of cheap talk in our time, it's nothing new certainly, about the motives for serving Christ. Some serve Christ out of a pressing sense of duty and have been taught that if they don't do that, then they should be ashamed of themselves. And the assumption of those is that you can do something for Christ that comes near the extent of what He has done for you, and this is the way you thank Him. But the reality is, if your service is not constrained, in the language of the Apostle Paul, by the love of Christ, it is little more than a painful ritual. It is little more than an exercise in self-flagellation. Oh, I have to go out and serve the Lord. Now there are those on the other side of the situation. They would sit around and conclude that because everything is determined already, that they don't really have to do anything. That whether they do something or not, the Lord's people will be brought to glory. There are more than a few who think that way, and they go about masquerading as Calvinists and give Calvinism a bad name. For those who are truly Calvinists understand the responsibilities they have in preaching the gospel. You see, in this passage, we find the single motive that effectually leads Christ's people in His service. It is the simple word, love. And there are three statements I want to make from this passage this morning regarding the great theme, love's privilege and price. The first of these statements is, love's crisis is unavoidable. No true servant of Christ can escape the questions with which Peter was confronted. Notice the individual character of the questions. Lovest thou me, using the singular. Lovest thou me. So Peter could not hide behind the others. This was a question that came to Peter. It wouldn't do for Peter to say, well, Lord, you know we love you. It was a question to him. Peter, do you love me? So Christ comes to every professor of religion with this same question. There are people who love the ceremony of worship and the atmosphere of the church. They love the singing and the giving of tithes and offerings. They love the reading of the Word. Some love the hearing of orthodox doctrine. But the question that comes to them is, so you love all those things, but do you love me? Often this confession is just the product of the thinking process in the mind. One commentator said, there are people who carry this very far. And if the preacher differs from them in the nearest shade, they are overwhelmed with pious horror at his unsoundness, and they cannot hear him again, even if he preached Christ most preciously in all the rest of his discourse. It is nothing because he cannot sound their shibboleth. Peter had seen miracles. Peter was present at the Transfiguration. Peter had had many experiences, and he could point to those experiences and say, look what I have seen, look what I have heard. There are many who have such experiences, and many who are busy for Christ who cannot give a satisfactory answer to this question, lovest thou me? You may remember the story of the Lord's visit to Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in that story is the account of Mary lavishing her ointment upon the Savior, wiping his feet with her hair, sitting at his feet and listening to him. Martha, we read, was cumbered about much serving. She was busy. And she was irritated that her sister was not helping her. And so she said to Jesus, why don't you require her to help me? I have no one to help me. And the Lord said to her, you know, Martha, you're busy about many things. And he didn't condemn her for what she was doing. But he said, there is one thing needful. And Mary has chosen that part that shall not be taken away from her. It's an individual question. That's a question then that comes to each of us here today from the Savior's lips. Lovest thou me? Do you love me? And it's a personal question. Lovest thou me? That is, the question that went to Peter was directed in that immediate context. Peter, listen to me. I'm asking you, do you love me? Here's a question that deals with Christ himself. This is the faith that is blessed. As one commentator said, the faith which is most blessed is faith which deals most fully with the person of Jesus Christ. The truest repentance is that which weeps at a sight of his wounds. And the love which is most sweet is love to the adorable person of the well-beloved. That is, this is a love that is oriented toward him. There are people who are orthodox in their doctrine. They can be zealous in defending sound doctrine. They can be diligent in their service. They can aspire to purity of life. But the question still comes, lovest thou me? Let us turn to the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and let's look at chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The first of the seven letters goes to the angel of the church of Ephesus, and this is what the Lord Jesus said in verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Now here's a great commendation of the people at Ephesus. They were sound in their doctrine. And they went beyond that. They were not only sound in their doctrine, but they were zealous to defend it. But we read in verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That is all that the people in Ephesus had done. The Lord said would be taken away if they did not get back to the place of love for Christ. It's a personal question. Do you love Christ? It's an emotional question. Lovest thou me? Now I want us to give some attention here to the progression of these questions in our passage. I think that some have tried to make more of the words that are being employed here in the original than is necessarily warranted, but there is a distinction that comes into play here that I would have you to notice. In the first two questions that come from the Lord to Peter, where he asks the question, "Lovest thou me?" the Lord uses the Greek word agapao, and that is the word for love that is the description of the love of God. That is, it is a love that is sacrificial. It's a love that we find expounded in 1 Corinthians 13, and I would have you just to look at that. We're not going to read the whole chapter. But if you want to know what this kind of love is, of which the Lord was speaking in these questions, you find in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Here, Paul said, is what love is about. This love that comes only from God. It's the great inspiriting force in service for Christ. It is the force that enables you to live for Christ and to work for Christ. It's the force that makes you like Christ. Now, Peter replied on each occasion using a different word in the original. It's the word phileo. You hear that word in the name of the city Philadelphia. It's a word also that means love. Still a noble form of love. Still a sacrificial form of love. But instead of the emphasis upon sacrificing all, it is a form that indicates a deep attachment. That is a real fondness. Now, some have tried to suggest that Peter's word was practically worthless, but it wasn't. Peter said on each occasion, "Lord, I have a deep fondness for you. I have a deep attachment to you." And that was, I have no doubt, so. But it's interesting then that in the third question that the Lord asks, he used Peter's word. Peter had protested that he had this fondness for the Lord, this deep attachment to the Lord. So the Lord said, "Do you have such love for me? Do you really have that kind of deep human attachment to me?" Now, what was the reason for that question? What had happened not very long before? Peter had demonstrated that he had no such attachment to Christ when he was at the scene of the trial on three different occasions. He declared he did not know him. And I think this is what grieved Peter the most, that the Lord would use the word that he was using. And to say, Peter, if you were really that attached to me, would you have denied with oaths and cursing that you knew me? No. Christ questioned him three times. It was not just the change of the word, but the fact it was the third time. No doubt Peter saw immediately the correspondence between his threefold denial and these threefold questions. He said to him, "Are you really that attached to me?" It's a directional question. Notice how he put it, "Lovest thou me more than these?" You ever think about what that meant? More than these. Well, it could have been a reference to the other disciples. Is your love and attachment for me greater than that of the other disciples? Do you really love me that much, Peter? Or maybe he was looking at the pile of fish lying on the shore, saying, "Do you love me more than these? More than the fish and the boat and the sails and the water? Do you love me more than these? Are you willing to give all of this up?" Is your love for me, Peter, greater than the love that others have for me? Is it really that deep? What's the lesson here? The lesson is that true love for Christ transcends all other relationships. Do you love me more than these? Whatever it is you can put in there, in the place of these. And the question is, do you love Christ more than all of that? That transcendence is of such a character that the other relations will look cold by comparison. That's the whole point that the Lord was making to Peter. Peter, if you're going to serve me, it's going to have to be on a much different foundation than what you've been used to. Love's crisis is unavoidable. Here's a question that comes to you today. Do you love Christ more than these? Can you say that? Do you love Him more than your house? Do you love Him more than your family? Do you love Him more than anything in the world? Love's crisis is unavoidable. But let me say, secondly, love's cost is unsearchable. Here is where the Lord began to explore with Peter what the meaning of this love is. He said, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Okay, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." What was he being taught there? He was being taught they are the sheep of Christ. At the prayer meeting this last week, we were looking at that text from Acts 20 and 28, speaking of this church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. They are sheep, or as He says also here, they are lambs, and they have to be fed. Peter had to give his attention to this cause. That is, he was not going to be a fisherman anymore. He was going to be a shepherd. He was going to tend to the sheep. And the Lord Himself gives us a wonderful example in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And look at verse 11. speaking of the Lord God coming, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. The Lord was saying to Peter, this is what your work's going to be now. Peter, your impetuosity has got you into trouble. But it was an admirable aspect of his character in some ways. But what was the Lord saying? Peter, you're going to have to humble yourself under my direction now. He had to feed the sheep. And he had to give his all. Oh, here is the point of this question that brings us up short. Peter had to give his all. After professing 3 times that he had this deep attachment, this fondness for Christ, what did the Lord say to him in verse 18? When thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself and walkedst whither thou wouldest. Peter, you've been used to doing things according to your desires and your decisions. But Peter, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And I believe Peter understood what he meant. The Holy Ghost tells us what he meant. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Here was the Lord's message to Peter. You say you love me. All right, Peter, I'm going to tell you that you're going to be called on to lay down your life for me. How many times do we hear people say these days, oh yes, I love Jesus. I get so sick of hearing it. Oh yes, I love Jesus. And say it so glibly. It's easy to say it in the comfort of a church building. But it's not so easy when death is to be the sure outcome. You think of Peter from this day forward for the rest of his life, a life that had decades yet to run, but every day he would think of what Jesus said. The day is coming, Peter. The day is coming when you're to be called on to lay down your life. It meant he was going to be crucified. What did that mean for Peter? Did he try to minimize the risks? No, he went on and vigorously served Christ. Did it mean he was without fault after that time? No, it did not. Paul had to rebuke him to his face in public. So it did not confer upon Peter some kind of infallibility. But here was the message to him. This is how your life's going to end. And one day, Peter, they're going to come for you. And they're going to carry you where you don't want to go. Peter didn't scheme to get out of that situation. He didn't say to himself, well, if I can just get myself a good lawyer, maybe we can defend my situation and get out of it. The Lord was saying, Peter, this love is going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you a lot. Now, I don't know what the future holds. But I think I have some understanding of what the Scriptures tell us, that those who will live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. I know that there are people who despise the message of the gospel. They despise the truth. And they're targeting those who proclaim the truth. I was just reading an article about a fool, and that's what he is, who is part of what is called the emergent church, who now has come out and said that he doesn't think that the Bible has anything to say against the Sodomites. Well, he's a fool. He has nothing at all to do with the truth. But I want to tell you that people are going to look at him and say, oh, see, here's somebody who professes to be a Christian, and he doesn't think it's such a bad thing. His experience has taught him differently, and that's going to be used to target those who will not go along with it. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm here to tell you what Peter was told by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love Christ, there's going to be a cost. There's a price. But here's the glorious truth. When Christ has loved you to the cost of His own blood, you can serve Him with confidence and with gladness. And that leads me to the third of these statements. Love's command is unalterable. What did Jesus say to him in verse 19? After telling him what it was going to mean, he said to him, Peter, follow me. Follow me. Wherever that leads you, Peter, follow me. It may lead you, and it did in Peter's case, into conflict with the enemies of Christ. It may lead you, and it did in Peter's case, to another land. We have young people here today just starting out in life. And I would say to you, let it be your life's ambition. Let it be the desire of your heart to go where Christ leads you. That's a powerful challenge. Just watching this video that we've received on the work in Kenya. Watching Margaret Russell. Margaret Russell has been in Kenya for 25 years. When she went, she's just a young woman, just graduated from Bible College. Now she's in middle age. Never married. She's lived all these years far from her family, far from her home. But why is she there? Because of love for Christ. He led her there. And I'm not saying God will lead you to a place like that. But what I am saying is, hear the word of Christ to Peter, follow me. Let that be your ambition. Let that be your desire. Say to the Lord today, Lord, wherever you want me, I will go. Don't say it if you don't mean it. He had to forget the past. Peter had to leave behind the failures. Oh, he could have dwelled upon them. Look at the miserable mess he had made in his pride. And if he had stayed upon them, he could have been undone by them. So often the consciousness of failure is what keeps us from following Christ. What was it that Paul said? Forgetting the things that are behind. Yes? So you made a mess of things. What else is new? Forget those things that are behind. There may be limitations upon you because of those things that are behind. But you're still able to do that which God calls you to do now. So Paul said, I forget the things that are behind. He had persecuted the church of God. He said, I forget those things. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had to forget the past. He had to forsake everybody else. Notice that suddenly he sees John there. And after he's heard what the Lord said to him, he saw John. He said, well Lord, what about him? What's he going to do? And what did the Lord say to him? Forget it. It doesn't matter, Peter, what John is going to do. If I want him to stay in this world until I come again, what do you care? I'm telling you, you're going to die for me. All Peter had to concern himself with was the proper outcome of a proper love for Christ in his own life. And to leave the Lord's dealings with John between the Lord and John. So easy to look at other people and say, what about that person? What's the Lord going to do with that person? And the Lord said, never you mind. I have my own plans for John. And you see what the other disciples thought. They said, oh, he said that John's going to continue living. He's never going to die until Jesus comes again. But that's not what he said. He said, if I will, that he tarry till I come. Not I will that he tarry, but if I will. He's saying, if that were the case, what would it matter to you? You follow me. Do you love Christ? That really is the question, isn't it? Do you love Christ? This is a question that deals in the realm of faith. I mean, we know what love is on a human and personal level. There is some of that in this question. But the question is, if you love Christ, then you're prepared for the price. You're prepared for the cost. Do you love him today? This is a question for those who are outside of Christ. Do you believe on him today? You can leave this place today knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're going to heaven, knowing that you're among those whom Christ has called. If you are a believer, do you know him today in that way? Do you love him? Are you prepared to say, wherever the Lord leads me, I will go? This was the question to Peter. Do you love me? If you do, then follow me. Let us be found today following Christ, whatever the cost.